Yep. This episode of the Free Art Friday Atlanta podcast is going to be an interview that I did with Negative Neil. We sat down in his car and had a conversation about a lot of things, like how he got into Free Art Friday and what he wants to see with the future of Free Art Friday, and how he gotten started doing the podcast as well as maintaining the god-awful website. Okay, so without further ado, I give to you Negative Neil. Hey man, how's it going? Great. I'm glad to be a part of the podcast. I've listened to a bunch of them, and I was really excited when you asked me to come on. So let's just start off by asking how you got involved in doing Free Art Friday. The first thing I did is I used to work downtown on the west side, and I found an Everyman. And when I found an Everyman, I kind of went to the web and looked him up and saw this and started following him on Twitter. And then, you know, he was posting stuff from Ken24. And then I just started looking around for more Everymans. And then I kind of stumbled upon the Twitter hashtag probably right around the first or second month that it went to Twitter versus Google Maps. And I went out and looked for some that posted, and they were not there when I got there. But the first one I ever found was that wasn't an Everyman, because I had found a bunch of those, was JP's Zombie. And it was one of the first ones he put out. That was just a flat magnet, hilarious. Like, you know, a sheet magnet, and he had drawn on it, or stenciled it, I guess, on it, and cut it out and put it up. And so I ran over there and picked it up. And then I guess the next week or so, I started doing some signs. I did these little awkward signs, which were just rectangle pieces with a stenciled awkward on it. And then there were some others, like Awkward Hipster was one of them. And I put those out, and I got one tweet back from Flounder, and that was the only tweet back I got. I put probably about 10 of those out. They all are gone, so I guess someone took them, or they ended up into the great stash that is that homeless guy that has all the Free Art Friday things under the bridge. And then after that, I had the idea. I was like, okay, well, those are gone, and I didn't have a great response. But then I had this idea of putting up squirrels, like they were climbing up a telephone pole or a signpost or a fence. So I drew out this three-part stencil and painted all of those and cut them out, and then got some magnets and put them on the feet. And then so when you put them on the side of a post, a magnetic, an iron post, they stick and then climb. It looked like they're climbing up the side. And I painted those with, like, non-characteristic colors, like bright color, primary colors. So they kind of stood out. And I got a good response from those. I put 20 of those out the first day I did it. And then I made a couple more batches until, I guess I cut three sets of stencils out of that. And so I did three sets of that until they really? All got gone. And got gone is a great term, by the way. And tired of it. Then I moved on to possums. I wanted to do something small, and so I could do a lot of them at once. And I made a sheet of possums that I did gel transfer on, and could cut those out really small, because I was kind of just
working on my skills, actually, of the skill saw. I mean, the jigsaw, the scroll saw. I have words problems. And so I wanted to get better at that, and that certainly made me a lot better. I'm nowhere near, like, the finishing part of it. I just like to cut it out so I don't have a skip-tooth saw blade or do a lot of sanding on them or any of that stuff, because I'm a more of a grunge kind of person. So I kind of dig that it's all raggedy. But, you know, there are people that spend a lot of time on finishing. I've never been a finisher in anything that I've ever done. So that's about how I got started. So how did you get doing the website? Did someone give that to you or what? Well, the website came about because I was just between gigs and wanted to kind of experiment with some stuff I was learning on my own and trying to figure out. And so one day I just did a search for Free Art Friday Atlanta and FAFATL, and nothing came up, and it said it was available. So I went and bought it without thinking about it, really. And then, you know, what I did is I had a really crappy cell phone at the time. And it would always lose Twitter, or it would shut down, or it never really updated right. So what I did is I wanted to make a small mobile website where you click on it, and it has the feed that is pre-sorted for FFATL, and so it updated automatically. And then it had two buttons on it. Found and posted, and the idea was you would use those two buttons on the site, where you would go through, and when you posted something, it would have a standard message of what posted, so that people could search for that. And then I wanted an easy way for people to say they found the art, because that was really a big problem and still is a big problem, that people don't give tweetbacks. And I don't know if it's just because they don't use Twitter, or they have a crappy cell phone maybe, or whatever, but I wanted to just have a button there so they could push that, put the person they found on it, and then just tweet it from that website. So it would be one spot where you would go and you could do everything that needed to be done. And then I was thinking that maybe people were putting stuff up and people were finding it and didn't know what it was, so I made a little card that you could print out that was the size of a business card, and you could do it on one of those forms you get it that small businesses get at Office Depot or whatever, or you can cut them out yourself, that said what Free Art Friday was and had a place to put the Twitter name on it, so that if you're an artist, you could print these out and put them on the back. And then that way someone would hopefully learn about Free Art Friday and become, you know, a part of the community. So I did that, and then I did a little about page, and then launched it, and realized that probably should have asked Ken if he was cool with it. So I did, and he was fine with it at that point. He had tweeted out that he was going to back off from the Free Art Friday thing, and had his issues with it, and completely understand that, and, you know, heard that on your podcast with him. And so I just kind of ran with it at that point. And that site was up for probably a year, maybe a year and a half. Didn't get much traction on it. Then I started experimenting a little with WordPress and just, you know, farting around with that. So I switched it over to a WordPress, and basically I am absolutely the worst writer, and I'm completely aware of that, so I didn't update it that much. And luckily Elephant volunteered to update it, so she's been diligently updating it, and I am very thankful for her to do that. Also, if anybody else wants to contribute, just get in contact with me, and I will set you up, and then we'll make sure that we don't cross paths of who's reporting on what. But yeah, there, it's not, I didn't set up the website to, you know, kind of corner the market on web related Free Art Friday crap. I set it up so that it could be kind of a community place. So yes, I completely want people in the community to contribute to the website. So please contact me and I'll get you on board of that. And that's what Elephant did. I'm thankful. And what about this podcast that is on, what, episode 15, 16 now? Well, you know, the podcasts started out, I just wanted to meet and interview and pass along some knowledge of some of the people that started out. So I just had this wild hair and contacted some people that, you know, were one of the, real active in the community at the time. And I sat down and I interviewed four or five of them at one time at JP's place, where I don't know if you've been there, but he has the single most central collection of Catlantas. I think he has, last count I had, and who knows how many he has really, because I think he's got a closet full, 15 to 18. Something like that. Yeah, like he's really a collector of those. And so I think he just follows Catlanta around. He knows who he is, I guess. And then he just kind of waits at his door to when he leaves. He just tracks him. It's kind of like a Cloak and Dagger type of thing. Also, Cloak and Dagger, one of the worst movies ever made. So that's how I started with the podcast, and, you know, it just went from there. Unfortunately, it's like, to make one of these, you know, I gotta go meet the artist, lug all my stuff, set it up, interview this artist in a very awkward way, as we're seeing right now, talk to them in a way that, you know, you just really kind of don't talk to that person, you know, in a average setting. So it takes some effort, and I've been lax about it, but, you know, it does take some effort. The one thing I'd say is that if you're not on here, and I've gotten some good response, I just need to go and actually interview these people. But if you're not on the podcast yet and you want to be, just, you know, get in touch with me, and we'll set up a time where we can meet or whatever. I prefer to do it at the place where the art's made, because that's kind of a cool thing to see, like everybody's different setup. And I posted a Vine of Abeta's office workspace. That was pretty cool. Interviewing Ken at his space was amazing. His little setup, everything had a purpose. It was really well done. And, you know, just seeing where people work out their stuff is kind of cool. So if that's possible, we can do that. We can do it in my car in the most awkward way, as we are doing right now. If that's, you know, if that's not available, we'll do it in the car or at a quiet spot. I interviewed Telebox at a park in the middle of summer. I was sweating, but that was cool. So, you know, it had birds chirping in the background. I just need to kind of focus and get these things done. Doing free art and doing the podcast and doing the website got a little overwhelming in the free department. So I took a little bit of a break, but you know, I'm not going to quit. So get in touch with me and we can totally do it. So that's pretty much the podcast and the website and all of that all wrapped up into one big long answer. But you know, it is what it is, and you know. So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in Free Art Friday and Atlanta, and what is you've been talking with some other artists about, and what you plan on doing in the next year or so.
Yeah, man, let's talk about some things that are going on. It's like, I kind of dig the collaboration thing, and seeing people work together is kind of cool, and I got some of those coming up, and all. What's me and some other artists have been talking about is that some of the artists just do like a theme, like it's always, you know, an animal with Atlanta on the end, just because it's Catlanta, and then you kind of, they just stick to that, and it's almost too rigidly they stick to it, like they don't branch out enough, like there's only so many ways you can paint something. And I understand that, you know, not everybody is as skilled as everybody else, but it's just, I'd like to see some of these artists kind of go outside of what their screen name is, you know. Like, I'd love to see Z Atlanta's other stuff that he does versus just the stencil. I think he does it well. The one person that really kills it is Ars Gratis. His stuff is always different, but it still always has the same kind of style. New Studios does the same thing. His is always that wood carving, but he's still different subjects, but it's still in the same style, but so you know it's his. And that's what I'm kind of trying to do too. I did some other things, and I did a couple of animals and stuff, but I'm going right now, and I'm just kind of doing what I want to do and putting it out, and if people like it, that's cool, but if they don't, then that's still okay, I guess. I kind of sound like a jerk saying all this, but this kind of, you know, it's just, it's what burns people out, I think, is that they just do the same thing over and over again, and they get, you know, get burnt out. So I'd like to see a lot more branching out. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of cool when they have the theme shows, but it's also like, it's the other side of it too, is that, you know, it's a theme show. I want to see, like, what do you come up with? What do you dig? Like, I love pop culture and all, but it's just, I'm not a pop culture artist. So I don't, you know, reimagine movie posters or reimagine, you know, characters or any of that. I'm not a character designer. I'm not good at that. So, you know, theme shows are kind of a hit and miss. I liked a general theme of it too. I mean, you know, but it's still pop culture over and over again. It's like 80s cartoons and Star Wars and cult movies, and let's get away from always having that, and let's you know, kind of get away from having a theme altogether. Just show up with stuff you want to show off, and it doesn't have, you know, preview shows is cool, because you know you can get those pieces later in the month or whatever, but also, you know, I like bigger pieces in shows, so, you know, I'd like to see just come with what you have, make something incredible, and bring it, and then, you know, bring a couple of little pieces that go with it, you know. Let's step up the game a little bit, is all I'm saying. I don't want to sound like a jerk, because I am a jerk, but that's the way I kind of see it, you know, is that it's repetitive, and let's be less repetitive, you know. I actually love the idea of the Atlantaland show, where it was, you know, a size theme. It's like, you know, you get this one thing, and let's see what you can do with the size of this versus, you know, giving someone a subject matter. So I really did enjoy that show. I also like the fact that everything was the same price. So a lot of stuff sold really quickly, which was really cool. And so that was neat. So, you know, you know, without being, you know, saying yes or no. Like, it's also part of it is, you know, like what Larry said, is that Trackside likes themes because, you know, it's all kind of the same kind of art, and that way it kind of matches all together. So that's cool too. You know, it's like, it's a double-edged sword, you know. It's a show, so that's a huge plus. And it's a theme show, you know, so it's something that just kind of needs to be worked on. And I talk to some artists, and I'm, you know, my thing is like, let's step outside of the normal show up at a show type of thing, and just have like a day where everybody drops art outside of a festival, not a festival day, not, you know, not everybody show up at a festival, but just take over a block maybe, and you know, put out 10 pieces each on a block in one day, and then, you know, don't tweet about it ahead of time, just here's a, you know, do it a day before, everybody say, okay, tomorrow at 2 p.m. we're going to be here, and then everybody just show up, put out their pieces, and then just chill out and have a good time, you know, and watch people find it. And that's kind of another thing that, you know, following this community, which I love, and that's why I started all the stuff that I did start in it. But following this community, I see a pattern where what's great about it is, like, if you put out a piece of art and then somebody finds that art and then they find another piece and then they keep searching and searching, and eventually, usually, those people will be makers, which is great. You know, that's kind of the idea of the whole thing, is to get more people making art and more people putting art out so that the community can grow. But the flip side of that is what I see is that we're just trading art with people. You know, like, you put a piece out and another artist that is a maker and puts stuff out goes and tracks it down and takes it. And it's, you know, it's great that they got the piece, but you could have, you know, if you're in the community, especially for a while, just ask somebody for a piece or a trade or something, and let those found pieces stay for people that are, you know, oblivious to the community or just entering the community. And that way, let's grow this to where it's a bigger and bigger and bigger thing. But where it's like very incestuous now. It's like, you put something out, and then, you know, 2 minutes later, another artist picks it up, and it's like, cool, you got it. That's awesome. But, you know, we could have left it for somebody to find it, because there's no greater thing than, you know, like, a lot of people, especially in the beginning, got started because they happened across a piece. You know, they just happened to walk by and saw something and was like, oh, that comes off of that metal sign or whatever. And so they picked it up, turned it around, and it had a hashtag on it and a Twitter name. And they were like, okay, that's weird. And then they take it home and, you know, do a search on it on Twitter or whatever. And then they realize that there's this huge thing that's happening. So it's almost like, you know, and I have very few pieces, and the pieces that I do have, I've found a couple of them in the beginning, but the ones I have now, I just have gotten just by knowing people or them giving it to me or doing a trade of some sort, which is cool. And another thing with a trade is that, you know, you may be one of those artists that puts out like 15 to 20 each month. And you know, those that are small pieces, but if you ask somebody for a trade, that artist usually puts more effort into the one they're trading with another artist than the ones they're putting out on the street. So, you know, you'll get a better piece if you trade. I just, you know, it just seems a little incestuous. Again, I sound like a complete jackass for saying all of this, but I've talked to a couple of people that have the same kind of view on it, and to the point where sometimes they don't even tweet where they put it. And I've done that a lot too, is that I just put it up and leave it and let somebody find it. Sometimes the artist finds it, which is fine, but just putting it up
And seeing how long it stays there is cool. Also, like, if someone just happens by it, that's cool. I know there's a lot of, you know, people that want treatbacks for every art piece they have because they're, you know, it's whatever. But, you know, the ones that don't get tweeted back usually go to people that don't know about the community. So maybe they're not tweeting back, but it's been found. Well, unless you get those people that are hoarders and don't want to admit that they got yet another blockhead, you know, they got 15 at home, JP, or a Catlanta, JP, and, you know, they don't want everybody to know that they have 18 to 20 Catlantas, JP, but that's, you know, that's a different thing altogether. But if you don't get a tweet back, you know, it's one of three things. It's like, it ended up in the garbage, which is part of the thing. It found a way into someone's possession that didn't know about Free Art Friday, or it's in that underground layer of that homeless dude that has the best collection of art in Atlanta. So, you know, any of those ways, it's just part of the deal. It's like someone getting upset with, you know, they doing a paste up and someone comes along and rips up their wheat paste thing. It's like, you know, it's not there forever. It's not meant to be, you know, hung in a gallery. So that's just kind of my thought on it. Oh, thirsty. So that's about it, I guess, for that. I just, I like shows. I think they're cool. I like the idea that they're not curated because it lets anybody, outsiders, get in, which is cool. You know, the only other thing I could say is that, you know, spend some time making a piece. Like, quality really does count. Like, you know, don't make 30 pieces of crap. Make, you know, 3 pieces of... Pricing your art. Let's talk about it. You have put time into it. You have done your best work. You have spent, hopefully, more than 1 hour on it. You should not sell that for $10. Okay? You should sell that for what it is worth in your time. It also, you have tools and paint and materials that you have put into it. You should also sell it based upon that you have used those things. So if you are selling it for a loss, then that is devaluing what everybody else is selling. So please, don't price it as if you found it at Walmart. That's the one thing you need to realize. That yes, you can buy quote-unquote art at Walmart and it will cost $10. But it is not handmade. It is not put the time into it. It is not imaginative. It is mass produced. Please, please don't devalue everybody else's work by putting yours up for sale for almost nothing. Okay? This concludes the rant. I don't want to sound like an asshole. Know that not everybody's going to agree with my opinion. I understand that. These are just my opinions. Arguing with people is not going to change people's opinion. I just want people to think about the things that I have brought up. That's all that I ask. Just think about them. Just do a little thinking. That's all. So what's it like being a dad of 3 kids? It's funny. Not really. The thing is like, I am at home a lot more than most dads, so I am around them. I work from home, so it's kind of like I am the main caretaker during the week. Not that my wife doesn't do a whole hell of a lot more than I do, because she does. But I'm the one that drives them everywhere, so I get to spend a lot of time in the frustrating car with them. So it's like having 10 kids, I guess, or like
20 kids because they all have multiple personalities inside of them, and at any moment they can snap. It's like maintaining a herd of chimpanzees, really. And you just try to make it so that they don't kill each other or you. Preferably, it's better to have them mad at you versus mad at each other, because then there's just fighting and stuff. And our house has smelled like poop for 10 years or so. And you don't have any time to go and do anything. And then when you do go do something, it's a huge ordeal and someone doesn't behave right, and then you have to leave. Take in point the Chomp and Stomp incident where number three, I want to get to the numbers. Okay. Well, the number one is the oldest. He's 10. Number two is the girl. She's 8. And number three is 3 years old. He's a boy. So, 1, 2, and 3. And the reason I do that is because most of the time it's easier than writing their names, because some of their names are longer than just writing 1 or 2. So, that's why I do it, and it's easier to keep track of. But, you know, the stuff on Twitter, not all of it is said to the children. Most of it is thought in my head. And I don't think most people that don't have children don't realize the overall meanness of a parent's thoughts when it's regards to one of their children acting up. So I like to provide that for people so that they can realize that maybe they shouldn't have kids, or maybe they are ready for kids. Who knows? I was not ready for kids, and that's fine. No one is really, truly ready for kids, but you're in the life that you have, and you make the best of it. If just make the best of it. That's positive, Neil. Being positive. Meanwhile, your life sucks ass. That's the real Neil. Ass-sucking life. This concludes this episode of the Free Art Friday Atlanta podcast. Bye. I hope you all enjoyed that interview with Negative Neil. Bye, Negative Neil. That's right, sing-songy voice, always lovely. In wrap up, if you would like to be on this podcast, please DM me, email me, do what you want. You can reach me at NEGNEAL. On Twitter. That's NEGNEAL on Twitter. You can reach me at the Free Art Friday Atlanta website. You can leave a comment on the iTunes Podomatic of said podcast. If you want to write for the Free Art Friday Atlanta website, please get in contact with me at the same places. I would like it to be a community. Bum, bum, bum. Cool. And this is the awkward